So, Matthew 7, verses 1 through 6. I am really excited about this message. The Lord has taught me so much, and God is just, His word is so awesome. So, there's a lot of scripture, because I have learned the safest way to preach is to stick very close to scripture. Because scripture interprets itself. Now, I do want to say this. There is scripture about judgment within the church and how, you know, there's a place for that. But we are not going to discuss that in this message. The Bible will interpret itself. People say, well, the Bible contradicts itself. Listen, if I say to my children, because it is raining cats and dogs and lightning outside, do not go outside. But then tomorrow I say to them, go outside and play. I have not just contradicted myself. There are different instructions for different times. And so that is the beauty of letting the scripture speak. It is alive. And God will illuminate certain instructions for certain times. And tonight, our focus is on not being judgmental. Now, does that mean that we are never to, you know, speak a word of judgment within the church? No, because the Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians 5. But tonight, I felt like the Lord said, do not go there. That's not where we're going tonight. Tonight, we're focusing on not being judgmental. And so, Matthew chapter 7, verses 1 through 6 says, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. So, do not judge so that you will not be judged. Okay, let's continue on. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? So this is Jesus's question that he's asking. So that's the tough question we're dealing with tonight. This is the second question that Jesus asked. Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Okay, you can be seated. We're just going to stop at verse 5. Okay, will you put up the first PowerPoint, please, Jacob? So, judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. That's what Jesus said. Now, judge means to distinguish, to decide mentally or judicially, to try, to condemn, to punish, to avenge, to conclude, to condemn, to decree, to determine, to esteem, to judge. So this, it's a very broad thing to judge somebody else. It continues to go to or sue at law, to ordain, to call in question, to sentence, to think. Now, something that I want us to understand, there is a difference between judging somebody and noticing something. You can notice something without moving into judgment. If I notice something about somebody, but then it stops right there, it doesn't have to be judgmental. So notice means to treat with attention or civility. So if I notice something, but it is treated with civility, and I just, you know, it's just an attention, something that, you know, gets my attention, that's different than when it continues on into judgment. The saying that people are innocent until proven guilty is sometimes not practiced in our thought life. And that's sad, because as Christians, we need to let people be innocent until proven guilty. It's just a helpful way to think about things. But we have to be careful when it comes to our judgment. Because notice it says the measure that we use will be measured to us again. So it's very important. If you put the next PowerPoint, please, Jacob. Sorry. I don't know if y'all can read that. It says, dude, I think I got something in my eye. And the other person says, hey, don't worry. I'll help you get it out. That's funny, but that's basically what Jesus was saying, is you have got a plank in your own eye and you're trying to help somebody get the speck out of theirs. We just don't need to do that. Now, this is important because it's not saying that we aren't ever able to help someone see more clearly or get something out that's keeping them from being able to see. In fact, sometimes people who have something in their eye will ask for help. How many of you have ever said, can you see anything in my eye? Like, I feel like I have something in my eye. I have said that. My children have said that to me. Listen, spiritually speaking, that's a good thing to do. It's good to be willing to say, There is something in my eye. Can you help me get it out? That's very humble. That's a good thing. But the fact is, sometimes people have something in their eye and they don't realize that they have it in their eye, and you can see it. It doesn't say, notice, that you can't ever try to get the speck out of somebody's eye. It just says don't do it if you haven't dealt with yourself first. If you have a plank sticking out of your eye and you're trying to help somebody else, it's not going to work. We have to deal with ourselves first. Okay, let's see. Because if you have a plank in your own eye, obviously, you can't see to help someone else. The sad thing is, deception will close your eye to the plank and only allow you to see the problem that somebody else has. That cartoon really can happen. Like, I can be so busy looking at everybody else's speck in their eye with a plank in my eye and be completely oblivious to it, not even realize that that's what I have, is a plank in my eye, and that's sad. Being honest about our own faults and dealing with them will sometimes and often give us compassion to deal with the faults and misperceptions of other people. Sometimes people just need help to see clearly, and we can help them, but we will be less judgmental if we have already dealt with ourselves. Because when you see your own faults, and some people really have a hard time seeing their own faults, but when you see your own faults, it really helps you to be merciful to other people, because you realize this is harder than I thought. Like, it is harder to do this. Like, it's, I am always amazed, and I'm going to try this to say in a non-judgmental way, but I am always amazed how it seems like the people that don't have any children are the best parents. Like, you know, I was a great parent before I had any, you know, like, my kid will never do that. You know, how many parents did I judge when their kid was throwing a tantrum in the mall? And I thought, my kid will never throw a tantrum in the mall. Do you know how many of my children have probably thrown tantrums in the mall? You know, I mean, it's just what you do with them when they throw a tantrum, you know, at the mall or in Walmart or whatever it is. You know, but it's so easy to be judgmental about things that you've never experienced. Okay, we're going to do an illustration in a minute. So I need somebody to help me, an adult. Do I have an adult? Well, if you can lift a shovel of dirt, you can help me. Okay. Okay. Galatians 6, 1 through 5. Let's read those verses first. Okay, it says, brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens. Oh, you know what? We're only going to do verse 2, up to verse 2. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. So, it says, if someone is overtaken in a trespass, this happens, you know, this is talking about a brother, or really it's just, it says if a man is overtaken. You who are spiritual, people who are spiritual, who are close to Jesus, being close to Jesus will deal with your pride. Because the closer that you get to him, the more you will realize how much you need him. And it really helps you to stop being self-righteous if you get closer to him. Now, the sad thing is people who are spiritual, who know how to look spiritual but actually are not close to Jesus at all, are often some of the most judgmental, self-righteous people. And that's sad. That's exactly what happened with the Pharisees, like we've talked about lots of times. Notice it says, restore those, such a one, in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. When we see somebody else's sin, we need to be very careful, because seeing that sin can cause us to go into sin of judgment, into sin of pride, into sin of self-righteousness, into sin of, you know, uplifting self and all of those things that it looks like. Bear one another's burdens and so we need to bear one another's burdens, not stand off far off from people and cast judgment. And I want to say this last part before we go into our illustration. One of the dangerous things about being judgmental is it can be contagious. We often draw other people into our judgment that we're doing towards other people. We can invite others, and often having judgmental thoughts leads into gossip. Because the more judgmental that we are, the more proud we become a lot of times of our own opinion, which then lends itself to sharing that opinion with somebody else and encouraging others then to become judgmental. And that's not something we're going to talk about that in a minute. But I want to show you something. So I was going to have a volunteer, but we're just going to let this chair represent a person. Lydia's going to come up and help me. So, okay, so I am going to be, yay, Lydia. Okay, so here, you come stand up. Okay, so we're going to put this a little closer. And this is the word picture that God gave me. Yeah, I just need to get closer.
Where do you want it?
Just a little bit in the middle so we can both get to it. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Okay, so put up my next PowerPoint, please, Jacob. Now, these are, oh, yeah, this is just a good thing to remember before you say stuff. Is it true? Is it kind? Is it necessary? On a note, the fact is, even if something is true, does not mean it needs to be shared. There are many true things that we would do a whole lot better to keep it to ourselves. So gossip can be things that are true. Even if it's true, it doesn't mean we need to say it. Ask yourself the other two questions. Is it kind? And number three, is it necessary? A lot of things we would do a whole lot better just to keep our mouth shut, unless God is telling us to say it. And we would do ourselves and other people a favor. Okay, move on to the next. So I was trying to come up with judgmental statements because I want us to understand. So, for example, this is a judgmental statement. So if I am the person... Okay, I'm just going to do this because I need a mic. I was going to have a person sitting here, standing there, but I really don't want to be judgmental towards anybody. So we're just going to, you just picture there's an actual person standing there. So what happens is if I say this first statement, basically, now Lydia, you are going to copy everything I do. So I'm going to stand up here so y'all can see. So basically, as I'm judging this person, she's not going to represent God, because honestly, when it says what judgment you meet, it will be measured back to you again. I'm not sure I know that we're going to look at a scripture later that says you are heaping up judgment for yourselves from God. So also, I think sometimes we judge other people and we are heaping up judgment that others are going to judge us. Because the Bible says you reap what you sow. So whether or not the judgment, so she's just going to represent the person bringing judgment, whether it's a human or God or whoever it is. That's what she's going to represent. So as I judge this person, you're just going to get the same amount of dirt and put it by me. Now we're using dirt because how many of you have heard, I got some good dirt on somebody. So that's why we're using dirt, okay, as judgment, because often judgment comes in the form of dirt, okay? So I'm going to read this statement and I'm going to say, why is that person wearing that? They only want attention. Oh my goodness. They probably want everyone to notice them. They're so selfish. Okay, now that's just an example, you know? So that's one judgmental statement. And there are so many. Trust me, just let the Lord deal with you and show you if you're having judgmental thoughts, even if you're not saying them out loud. God can hear our thoughts. So even if we're just having judgmental thoughts, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if our heart is being judgmental, eventually it's going to come out of our mouth. But even if it's not, God knows our thoughts. So that's one example. Okay, so the more judgment that I give out, the more that's being given back to me. Okay, now it says with the same measure, and that word means a limited portion. So the measure that we choose to use is the measure that will be measured back to us. So the second one just plans to, I'm just going to use this. They always, be careful of the words always and never. Okay? They're very easy in the moment to say, you always do that. Oh my goodness. But the truth is, most of the time, people don't always do what we say that they always do. And if they are the exception that actually always does that, pray about it and let God give you an opportunity to talk to them at the right time and help them get the speck out of your eye, or out of their eye, after you have gotten the plank out of your own. But going, you always blank, you know, you are, they think they have to know everything. Like, they always have to have the answer, or they always have to blah, 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 whatever you see. Okay, so now the last one that I want to show you. This is the one that I personally like. If I have to be judgmental, I would rather use only a little bit. And it says, that's what the scripture says, with the same measure that you use. And how many of you have started being judgmental and then been, I need to hush. I need to just hush right now. Or just shut your thought life off, like, I need to stop my mind right now where it's going. And you just, so, you know, just a little bit of judgment. They will never, whatever, you know, they will never get past that, okay? Now, the sad thing is, imagine if I have had just these three, the, you know, the shovelful and the cupful and the spoonfulful, just once a day. Imagine the amount of dirt of judgment that I have laying at my feet because of the judgment that I have dealt out to other people. We need to get this picture, because it is a better way to live without judging people. Thank you, Lydia. It's very interesting to me. I was looking up judgmental statements to try to find some, you know, because I didn't want to, I don't know, I just wanted some help. And I couldn't find a whole lot of judgmental statements, but there is a lot of information about not being judgmental on the internet. You know why that is? Because the world has figured out what God already knew. That it is dangerous to be judgmental all the time. Listen, if people would just take the word, they would learn things a whole lot sooner, you know, because the word is true. Romans 1, 28 through 32, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness. Now, I want you to notice the things that are lumped in with all of these other negative things. With all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, which means to utter maliciously false statements, charges, or imputations about, or to injure the reputation of by slander. Backbiters, that means to be talkative against or to slander. Haters of God, violent, proud. Often when we are quick to judge people and quick to backbite, it's because we are proud. We're looking at ourselves and we are proud of our own opinion. And we have to be careful about that. Boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Y'all hear that, children? This is, I mean, seriously, this is a big deal. I was telling a kid today, the Bible says, honor your mother and father, that your days may be long on the earth. Like, this is lumped in with murder and strife and all kinds of other things. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving. Being unloving is a big deal to God. You know why? Because he has so lavishly loved us. It is not an option for us as Christians to not be loving to other people. We don't have to have our own love, but the beauty that God has shown me is when I feel like, God, I have run out of love for that person. The Bible says his love has been shed abroad in my heart. And I tell you, if you will give all of your imperfect love to God, the Bible says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, then he will pour his perfect love out through you. And we all need that help. Unforgiving, unmerciful. We're going to talk about that later, being unmerciful and being merciful. Notice this verse. Who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Do you know why gossip shows are on TV? That just tear people down, just talk about all their drama? Because people watch them. I mean, listen, even what we give ratings to on television, we need to be careful that as Christians, we are not encouraging that nonsense to stay on television. We have to be careful that we don't approve of those who practice things that God says they are deserving of death. Sin equals death. And if God says not to do it, then we not only should we not do it, but we should not approve of other people who do it. Galatians 5, 13 through 15 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word." And this is what Jesus said. He said, the two greatest commandments, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So all of the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If I love my neighbor as myself, I'm not going to gossip about them because I wouldn't want somebody to gossip about me. But I will, if I was in the place where I had something in my eye and I could not see, I want somebody to love me enough to say it to me. But I want them to get the plank out of their own eye first so that they'll be merciful to me when they say it and so that they'll have the right attitude. Okay, it continues. "But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." Remember in verse 30 of Romans 1, it said people are backbiters. If we bite and devour, how is that? With our mouths, with the things that we say that come out of our mouth. Proverbs 18:8 and Proverbs 26:22. You can just put up the first one, Jacob. But I just printed out both because anytime, as I've said, that you see something repeated word for word in Scripture, pay attention to it. God never makes mistakes. He does not repeat himself accidentally. If you repeat something, there's a reason. And this verse is exactly the same. It says, "The words of a talebearer are like tasty trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." That's why they say gossip is juicy. Because it is a tasty trifle. I mean, I'm going to be honest. Most of us want to hear gossip. I mean, as much as we know we shouldn't, and we know, I mean, the flesh wants to hear it. The flesh wants to know. I mean, that's why we have to fight against it. Because it goes down into the inmost body. Do you know, you hear one piece of gossip about somebody, and if you are not very careful, it will change your whole outlook of them. And if you let it seep into your heart, you might not even know them. And you will get into judgment and end up heaping up judgment for yourself because you are judging them. It's dangerous. We need to stay away from it. And we are going to reap what we sow. Galatians 6, verses 7 through 8 says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." I want to read this verse in the New Living Translation. It says, "Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant." Janine was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. She talked about the fact that we have two trees, and what you feed will grow, and what you starve will die. Listen, we would be so much better off if we would feed our thoughts with goodness and with love and with compassion and with mercy. So much better. But verse 8, "Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith." Work to look for ways to speak good things to people and about people. It is sometimes easier to find the negatives, but man, if you will look for the positives in people, you can find them. And one of the ways that the enemy sows discord among brethren is he just fills your head with accusations against people. just not, some of it true maybe. But the truth is, even if some people have faults, because they do, we all do. If you focus on anybody's faults all the time, you'll get to where all you see is their faults. Whereas if you refuse to focus on those things and instead begin to look at the good things in people, it will not only change your perspective but other people, but it will change the inside of you. Because if there's just bitterness and ugliness all the time going on in your head, it affects your perspective. It affects your joy level. So we can choose. Our harvest shows what's in our heart. Okay, Matthew 7, verse 17 through 20 says, "Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by your fruits, you will know them." As I said, there is a place for helping our brothers and sisters see what they can't see. But we need to be careful about what kind of fruit we're bearing. Also, we can judge falsely if we're not careful. Verse 20 says, by their fruits, you will know them. But have you ever noticed that sometimes you can't see fruit from far away? Like if you look at a tree and a tree has just the beginnings of fruit, usually an apple or whatever, I know pear because we have a pear tree. You have to get up really close at the right time of the year and you might see, you know, one or two. We don't have a fruit-filled tree yet. Maybe we'll get there eventually. But I have learned from looking at trees that from far away, it might not look like it has any fruit on it. But if you get up real close, you can see the beginnings of fruit. It might not be a full-fledged, beautiful apple yet or pear yet, but it is the beginnings of fruit. And sometimes we falsely judge people because from far away we can't see the fruit that's beginning in them. But God can. And so, 1 Corinthians 4:4 says, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. Then each one's praise will come from God." I have had God say to me at times, not yet, when I felt like I should confront something. And I knew that the person was, I knew it was sin that they were struggling with. And I, in my flesh, I thought, God, I feel like this needs to be confronted. And I know that I am a non-confrontational person. And I don't want to not be confronting because, you know, secretly I'm afraid, you know, to confront this. And I felt God saying, not yet. Not yet. The Bible says that God gives people space to repent. He is such a merciful God. Thank the Lord, you know, that he doesn't give up on us immediately. He's so faithful and he is so long-suffering. Even in Revelation, when he was talking to one of the churches, he says, "And I gave her space to repent." Because God wants us to repent. He's not willing that any should perish. And so God will give people space before he judges them. And sometimes he will ask us to wait. And sometimes he will ask you to pray. You know, there's a scripture that a tree wasn't bearing fruit. And Jesus told this parable. And the harvester, the person came and they said, "Cut it down." And the husbandman said, "Let me dig around it and like fertilize it." Like, and sometimes that's what God is saying. Sometimes we're saying, "God, let's cut that tree down. Like, let's just go and handle that. Like, there is no fruit on that tree." And sometimes God will say to you, "Dig around it, add some fertilizer, spend some time, talk to the person, give them some extra help, you know, and thank the Lord," like I said, because he has done that with me many, many times throughout my lifetime. Matthew 7:12 says, "Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets." If we would really and truly treat people the way we want to be treated. And like I said, that goes both ways. That goes that the truth is, if I can't see something and I am headed down a dangerous road and about to hurt myself and others, please somebody love me enough to speak to me. If there's something that I can't see, I need somebody to tell me. But it needs to be God, and it needs to be in the right time, and it needs to be in the right attitude. And usually, when you begin to pray for people, God will begin to place within you a different attitude towards them. Like your heart will start to change because you begin to see from God's perspective. So I want to end with these last two sets of verses. Romans 2, verses 1 through 6 says, "Therefore, you are inexcusable, O man, whoever you are who judge, for in whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge practice the same things I've shared before," but it amazes me still when I look back on myself. How it's amazing how we can get irritated at people for doing things that we struggle with ourselves. I remember when I was irritated at somebody because they were late. This is back when I used to be late all the time, because I'm not anymore. But the Holy Spirit, real quick, it was almost like he was like, "Really? Like, you have a right to be frustrated at this person because I struggle with being late all the time." It says, "For you who judge, practice the same things." The saying says, we judge other people by their actions and ourselves by our intentions. Well, I intended to be there early, but, you know, all this stuff happened. But other people, well, they just should have been there on time. You know, they just should have worked harder to do what they needed to get done. You know, that's how we do it sometimes, and that's wrong. Verse 2, "But we know that the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. And do you think this, oh man, you who judge practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance?" I love that verse. I've prayed that for many people. God, just let your goodness draw them to repentance. "But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds." Look at those piles of dirt and ask God, "God, am I piling up judgment for myself because of the way that I'm judging other people?" We need to be careful. So if you realize, man, I already judge people, what do I do? Number one, repent. Ask God to forgive you. Number two, Matthew 5:7. I love this verse. It says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." If you have a bunch of judgment that you have dealt out, you need a bunch of mercy. And so I would encourage you to start being very merciful so that you will reap mercy. Imagine how much nicer a place would be, and how much, like I said earlier, how much nicer our thoughts would be if they were full of mercy for other people. The word mercy means compassionate, feeling or showing sympathy and concern for others. If you are really struggling with somebody, and especially in the church, and maybe really struggling with judgment with them, I just want to encourage you, first pray for them. Just start praying for them as often as possible. Number two, and this might be hard, spend some time with them. You know, invite them out for coffee, hang out with them, you know, once or twice, because I promise you, sometimes you get a little closer to people, you see a little bit of fruit that you couldn't see from far away, and you go, okay, maybe they're trying a little bit harder than I judge them, you know, or maybe there's a little bit more going on in their life than I realized, or maybe there's a reason why they are. Jimmy Evans, Olivia had sent me a message and it was so good, and he was talking about forgiveness and how he had this man that when he was voted in as the pastor of the church, he said the man came into the meeting and voted against him and just very antagonistic, and he said, "I had a little torture chamber in my heart where I would take him down there and, you know, just have my way with him." He said, and God started dealing with him. And he said, "I struggled so much. God, I don't want to bless him. I don't want to pray that you will bless him." And he said, God said, "You see him for what he has done to you. I see him for what's been done to him." And sometimes we don't know how people got where they are. And I want to speak to you children and teenagers. As Christians, you need to be the kindest, most merciful people, because there are children and teenagers that all they get is flack from everybody. And they might not tell anybody. They might not say, "Listen, I'm already dealing with drama from everybody else, and I am doing everything I can to keep my head above water." Make sure that you love people. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't speak out against injustice. Jesus did it very well. He knew how to speak with love. But as Christians, we need to be careful that we are showing God's love in what we say and in what we do. And we do that as we allow God's love to fill our hearts. And so if we are really struggling with somebody, the best thing we can do is pray for them. And not just children. Many times adults are dealing with the same thing. Sometimes the hardest, meanest people are going through the worst kind of stuff. Or they have already been through a lot of stuff that they're trying to get over. And we just need to love them and pray for them. So, Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your word that challenges us, that reminds us, that teaches us. God, and we just pray that you would help us as your people. God, I believe that you are going to bring unsaved people into this church, that you are going to allow us as your people to reach people that are lost. And we know that lost people act like people that are not Christians. And we pray that you would give us a supernatural love because of our eyes being on you, that we would see people like you see them. I pray that within the church that we would see each other like you see us, and that we would show your love, Lord Jesus, from the little children all the way up through us as adults. And we thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.